I feel like I need to ask, how many people are morning people? You love waking up early. Raise your hands. How many people are not morning people? All right. Just wondering, I was awake this morning at 5 o'clock. I don't know why, but I was awake. I was ready to go. My motor was turning, and here I am. So I'm a morning person. I love mornings. And as I was driving to the church this morning, I got to see the sun rise. It was as if the sun was setting, but it was in the east. And I drive from Milton, so I'm coming towards the west. And so I got to watch the sun rise in my rearview mirror. And I don't know, it was just an awesome thing to watch. A perk of waking up early in the morning, I suppose. Well, a few moments ago, I read the scripture passage for this morning. It is Ephesians 4, 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. If you wanted to turn there and follow along, that would be great. They jumped into the car in a hurry to make it to the movie that starts in 10 minutes. And they were 15 to 20 minutes away, depending on the route that they would take. He threw his seatbelt on and turned the car on. She, in a hurry, or simply forgot, or decided not to put her seatbelt on that particular time getting into the car. In a hurry, they were on their way. They were driving along on the highway on a warm summer day. Destination, movie theater. He looked across the car, and they smiled at each other. A few seconds later, there's a loud crashing sound, and the vehicle begins to roll, rolling 360 degrees on the black asphalt, following the yellow lines going through the other side of the intersection. The car stops rolling and lands on its side against the telephone pole on the other side of the road. His body dangling in his seat, held there by the seatbelt. Her body lying in the back of the car because she neglected to put her seatbelt on in the rush of things. What the two friends didn't realize when they set out on their speedy journey that day is that someone would violate the right-of-way of the intersection. As the friends were driving through the intersection, someone rolled through the stop sign and pulled out in front of them. In that split second of turning and smiling to one another, that split second decision not to follow the intersection rules, especially right of way, a car accident happened. There's a reason why the Department of Transportation sets rules for the roadway. Could you imagine driving on roads where there were no rules? I think it's called the Autobahn in Germany, where there's unlimited speed limit. Could you imagine here in central Pennsylvania, no rules for the roadways? Would you drive? I know what everybody's thinking. It would be disastrous. There is a reason we have rules for the road, right? They were established and put into practice by us drivers to keep us safe, to ensure there are minimal accidents as possible. But we are on an almost regular basis. Rules of the road are not followed. Right of way at intersections is not followed, is not practiced. There are then unwanted and unwarranted consequences. We see this same train of thought in our passage today. God, in His grace, in His love, gives us rules for new life. We find here in Ephesians that Paul is giving us a glimpse into his world, into what is going on in ancient times in Ephesus, You had the Jews and the Gentiles mixing together to form a small group of people who call themselves Christians. In the verses prior to this passage, Paul is preaching to his audience that they need to abandon their old ways of life, their old way of living, and receive the gift that is Christ, to put on Christ and to live as Christ. Paul is writing to a community that is struggling. We have to remember that this community is used and is used to certain things. They're, in a sense, used to living without any type of rules that we mentioned just a few minutes ago. Or they had rules, they were nothing like ours today. The community lived in a pagan way. They worshiped secular gods. They participated in worldly things. They were immoral. They stole. They were angry and bitter towards one another. And Paul lists all these vices, and I'm sure that he didn't include them all. Paul is calling this community that operates without any sense of moral code or moral law. He's calling this community that is hateful, that is rageful, that is thieving, that is lustful, greedy, that worships other gods, participates in idol worship, is lustful, and lustful worshipful acts towards the other gods. He's calling them to a different way. Paul is calling them to turn aside from their past way of life. Paul encourages them to separate themselves from the immorality of what they once knew. You see, Paul knows that this community, as these people become a part of the Christian community, as they bear Christ's name, there are rules. More than rules, Christ establishes a particular way that we are to live out as we are here in the 21st century, to turn from our pagan ways, turn away from our old selves, and enter into this community, into the life with the triune God, into a life of love. Did you know that there is an entire website dedicated to right of way? Yes, truly there is. The web link is www.rightofway.com. This website is attempting to list everything that has to do with right of way. There are several different classifications or categories that right-of-way ascribes to. Property rights, railroads, transportation, pipelines, utilities, surveying, mapping, gas, relocation, and probably many, many more. What does this tell us? It tells us about a community who cares enough about safety, enough about a way to live together, that they want to establish things just for those reasons. Do people find loopholes? Sure. But a majority of people has said, this will keep us safe. This is an appropriate way in community, in harmony with one another. This is what Paul wants to convey to this new age. Be beautiful in Ephesus. That Christ has set an example, we have established a way to live that brings honor and glory to God. We find that what is laid out here in Ephesus or in Ephesians applies just as much to us today as it did when Paul was preaching or sharing these words to this community. There are three verses in this passage today that popped out as I was studying, as I was preparing. Verse 26, Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not make room for the devil. Here's what I know. Anger is a powerful emotion. I see it on a regular basis. Often, when I'm up here preaching, I reference my other job. Besides being a youth pastor, I work in the mental health field. On a regular basis, I see anger, and I see the effects of anger. Anger left unchecked and not dealt with can lead to aggression and so many other things. It becomes violent. It becomes hurtful. It becomes shameful. Anger, if someone will let it, has the power to destroy. Destroy relationships. Destroy friendships. Destroy marriages. Destroy families. Anger, if left to go to this level, leaves a path of destruction, like we saw on the news, or I saw firsthand, of the EF5 tornado that tore through Joplin, Missouri. God is telling us, this is not what my community is about. You can have a righteous anger. But as we see, the scripture says, do not sin. God's community, life in the Holy Spirit of God, is lived in love, not anger. Verse 29 is the second one. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need. This is the second verse, you know, that jumped out of me as I was studying. Evil talk in the community of Christ, that is God, I am sorry to say, happens more than we want to believe. Some of us may even participate in it. This is another issue that cuts straight to the heart of us as living, breathing, functioning human beings, let alone the ones that are part of the Christian community. So often I see in the world people being made fun of, people being put down, people doing all they can to tear others down in order to make themselves feel better or have a higher self-esteem because they themselves are struggling. There is a reason that so many times in the Bible it mentions that we need to watch our tongue, or we need to be careful with our words. Words are incredibly powerful, incredibly powerful. I'm sure there's story after story in this room of how our words has had an effect on others. So often, they're used to tear down, used to destroy for evil purposes, and to take people to their lowest depths. God says no. This is not happening with my people. This is not happening in the church. This should not happen in the church. That should not happen among the people who call themselves Christians. In fact, Christians should be in the trenches, standing up and standing firm for those who can't stand for themselves. Christians should be encouraging and edifying to those who are in the margins. Christians should bear the name of Christ well and be Christ in the world, representing his love, not tearing down, not hating on others, not using our words to tear and break people down to their lowest depths. God is telling us to be a community, a people who bear his name, and through his Holy Spirit, we are to build up others, being an extension of his love. In verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Finally, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. This verse makes me think of the time in the Gospels, especially I think the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus wept for Lazarus. Did you know that God grieves for us? Did you ever think of your God as an emotional God? God created us in his image. So why couldn't God have emotions? Unless we think of emotions as a consequence of the fall. But I don't, because there's so many references in Scripture where God is angry, a righteous anger. God is wrathful. Jesus wept for Lazarus. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't give God the right of way in our lives. We grieve God when we are not living in a way that is not worthy of being called Christian. We make choices throughout our day. We choose to either live for God and his ways, his purposes in the world, or we can choose to live for ourselves. Living in sin and selfishness, we can choose the latter, and we grieve God. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Our passage for today gives us a contrast between the wrong way and the right way of living. Giving God the right of way to our lives ensures that we live a life of love, bearing Christ well, living into God's mission in the world. Our passage today is based off of Colossians 3, 8 through 9. But you now know you must get rid of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. Can we see that internally as we participate? As we become angry with one another, wrathful, malicious, slanderous, and abusive with our words towards each other, the world looks at us and says, we can get that being out here in the world. Why would we want to come join that? We hurt ourselves and we hurt our witness. To be perfectly honest, we can't do this. We can't do what this passage is asking of us unless we give God the right of way. When we don't, we find ourselves involved in a crash of sin, not sure of the effects it is having on the people around us. God wants, God calls us to give him constant right of way to our whole being, to our all. Can we receive this call? To be a community that builds each other up in love? Can we be a community of faith that helps each other, that equips each other to be the hands and feet of Christ in our community, in our spheres of influence? Can we be the community of believers that maybe in a private way calls one another out when necessary? On anger, on using our words to hurt others. And there are things that our passage mentions. I think so. I hope so. Let's pray. Lord God, hear our prayer this morning. We come to you as people who humbly admit that we need you, Lord God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Lord, we are many people who come from many different backgrounds, and you know our heart. You know our hearts. Help us to give you right of way to our lives. Lord God, empower us with your Holy Spirit to be your hands and feet, your love to our community, to each other, to the people we encounter, to the injustices of anger and evil, words towards each other. Help us to love you with our whole heart, our whole mind, and all of our strength, and love each other, and love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.